Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Right in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, where Kevin, for the final night, gets to drive home in this incredible Sunbury Motors vehicle before they then have to pin him to the ground and somehow get the key fob out of his hand.
And that may be what has to happen. At under $18,000, you would not expect a brand new 2016 just off the delivery truck, a Hyundai Elantra, to have not only a push button start, but a key fob, backup camera, sunroof, heated seats, and the rear, blind spot driver's side mirror, just to name a few things that are available. And again, they put all this stuff on the package, on the vehicle, as a package called the value package. And then they deduct the price of that value package from the MSRP. And then Sunbury Motors takes that and drops it down a little further as they give you the Sunbury Motors discount. Plus, they give you additional discounts that you qualify for through Hyundai. So that brings it down under $18,000 for a brand new vehicle. You do not have to settle for a vehicle that, you know, basically has crank windows, which I don't think any vehicle does anymore, but you get the idea. You get the idea. You don't have to settle for that and still be able to get 30-plus miles to the gallon back and forth to work. Check out the comfort and sophistication, plus the 5-year, 60,000-mile warranty that's available with the 2016 Hyundai Elantra and the Value Edition, available from Sunbury Motors. The Hyundai dealership is North 4th Street Auto Plaza in Sunbury. See more at sunburymotors.com.
All right. The NBA draft is tonight. I know we could sit here and talk about the intriguing Pete Rose story. There's no new developments there. Pete, let's face it, are you going to be here? Yeah, you'll be here during the week of the All-Star game.
Yes.
He'll be the central figure. Now, somebody brought up, why hasn't Fox fired Pete Rose? For what? He's a commentator. He can work for Fox. And if you're Fox, why would you fire him? You got more people watching him than ever. No. Anyway, when it comes to that, he can do all that stuff. He can do all that stuff. That's no big deal. But it was interesting, as I mentioned, Bob and Muncy was passionately, and I appreciate his passion very much, defending that he should be in the Baseball Hall of Fame. And we agree to disagree. I mean, that's one thing about opinions, just an opinion, his opinion he should be in. My opinion was one way before the story came out that he bet as a player, because I was willing to give him the separation of player to manager. I was willing to give that separation, put him in as a player. But when it came out and they have documented evidence showing that he bet as a player, then at that point it ended for me. Now, when John Dowd was on Christopher Russo's show on Mad Dog Radio on Sirius XM, Russo pressed Dowd about whether there was any proof that Rose gave anything less than his best when he was playing, and Dowd said no. Dowd says it doesn't matter, and Russo said, no, it does matter. And actually, while I see where Russo's going, Dowd is correct. It doesn't matter. It does not matter in the least. The rule is very specific. The rule does not state that if you bet against your team, it doesn't state that. It says that if you place a bet, you're done. Like a bet, uno, one, that's it. You're finished. Rose has accomplished a lot in his career. He's accomplished more than most people could ever dream of in a career. The only thing he did not accomplish was getting into the Hall of Fame. He'll ask for reinstatement from the commissioner, but this thing that came out from ESPN, from outside the lines, if I'm the commissioner, I don't reinstate him. Hey, there's certain rules that are the biggie. Well, that's one of them. NBA draft coming up tonight. Timberwolves will go first, then the Lakers. The Sixers will pick third. Then the Knicks will botch the fourth pick. Orlando five. Have you seen the Knicks draft pattern over the years?
Well, the Sixers have stockpiled a lot.
Yeah, but when the Knicks have been in the lottery, they hit a grand slam with Patrick Ewing. I thought Kenny Walker was a good pick. I thought Channing Frye was a good pick. All the other ones, are you kidding me? Who was in charge of those evaluations? Sacramento will go six. They may trade Cousins to the Lakers. We'll see. Denver seven, Detroit eight, Charlotte nine, and Miami 10 in the NBA draft tonight.
There's discussion, though, what we talked about yesterday, that the young man from Ohio State might be making a trip on the Schuylkill Expressway. May not happen. It looks like the Lakers have moved him up on their draft board.
Well, he's worked out twice for the Lakers. I mean, everybody knows he's worked out twice for the Lakers. The Lakers now have to make a huge decision. And the huge decision is as follows. Do we think that Julius Randle is our post presence and that Russell is the guy that we need to compete against Golden State in the West? From a guard point of view? Or do we go with the big man, Okafor, and combine him with Randle to go with our guards? Because Okafor is one of those post-presence guys that can be big in this game for the next 10 years, especially offensively. Defensively, he's not. Okafor has tremendous footwork. Great hands, a wide variety of post moves. Now, facing up to the basket, no, not so great. You know, he's not really going to be the kind of guy that goes out and is going to consistently hit 15-foot jump shots for you. He's going to do his damage with his right around the bucket. Defensively, he's not very good defensively.
Your good friend Dick Girardi, by the way, says the Sixers will take Russell.
Yes, and that's what they'll do. And they should take D'Angelo Russell.
If he's there.
If he's there. I mean, and I think he will be there. I think the Lakers will take Okafor. Russell brings to the table great size for a point guard. And he is, Kevin, an outstanding passer. For a guy that probably needs a little more in the weight room. Yeah. I've watched him in practice and a couple of other things I've watched him do in person where he'll throw the ball 70 feet and it's effortless. And he does it on a line. His passing skills are great. I think he's a good 3-point shooter. I don't think he's a great 3-point shooter, but he's effortless. You know, you foul him, guess what he does? He steps up, makes his free throws. He is an excellent rebounder for a guard, and I think he's actually become a pretty good defender. Now, he's not going to be perfect because his decision-making on the floor, especially in the latter stages of the season, I thought he needs to improve his decision-making. Like any of the young players in this draft, he's going to have to get stronger. He's going to have to get bigger. And the one thing that's hard to tell about Russell is that he gives the impression he's not explosive, but I think he's so smooth and is such a long strider that I think he's a little more explosive than people realize. I think he's a pretty special player. If you think Joel Embiid is going to be a contributor for you down the road to go with Nerlens Noel, Russell would be the guy you'd have to take.
The latest rumors coming out of Los Angeles is that they are looking at Russell and the increasing likelihood that they will draft him for the simple reason that they like Okafor's size and skill, but his defensive potential they don't like as much.
Well, it's a little bit more than that. If they're thinking about Russell, that then makes you think that they're thinking about getting Cousins from Sacramento.
That's a very good point.
All right. That's a big part. Now, Carl Anthony Towns will be the number one pick. Towns is somebody who can play inside out. He's a very good defender. Fits in well with what they want to do because, I mean, Wiggins is more of a slasher driver. Rubio is a slasher driver, great passer. Rubio's not a very good shooter. And one thing Towns has to work on is Towns has to work on his offensive game around the basket. And he got better as the season went. And Okafor, when you look at him, he's got to be a better free throw shooter because he's going to get fouled. And the biggest problem he has defensively is that he just doesn't anticipate well. His lateral quickness is not great. But you know what? This dude has a 7'5 wingspan on him. 7'5. That's pretty impressive. Now let's get to the mystery man of the draft, Emmanuel Mudiay. Mudiay is more like a James Harden type of player. He was going to go to SMU. There was some problem with the NCAA, so he just ended up playing in China. Got hurt after his 10th game in China. And he, it's interesting. He's a guy that scores. I mean, he's a scorer. But he's really not a great free throw shooter, and he's not really a great 3-point shooter. He also is not very efficient with the ball. And you also don't know how bad the ankle injury was that he suffered. But I will say this about Mudiay. You got to give him credit for this. Besides being a guy that's a scorer. And by the way, Mudiay, for a guard, good rebounder. This guy will play defense too. So I mean, but you know what? He gets in with a team and he kind of goes all in with it. And he was playing for that team in China, was hurt, and he was on the inactive list, and he was there every day, every day, every day. And then when they got to the playoffs in China, he played really well during the playoffs. He stuck it out all year there. And I give him credit for that. That's an intangible that tells me something about him.
By the way, Steve, the Celtics now being reported as wanting to move in the draft.
That's been reported the whole time, Kevin. They've got 4 draft picks. They got 2 in the first round, 2 in the second. They got 4 picks.
And the history is there's been 30 drafts in this lottery system era since 85. 18 have had trades that resemble the Celtics situation and what they'd like to do. So that would not be a big surprise, it appears.
The key guy is Cousins. What does Sacramento want to do with him? Do they want to move him? George Karl does. The owner doesn't. So you got to find out what happens there. Let's give you some key names in this thing. Let's go start. Let's do it in alphabetical order. Justin Anderson out of Virginia. Guy can flat out shoot it. He's going to be a guy that is going to be taken in the latter stages of the first round. And I think the team that gets him gets a real player. Devin Booker out of Kentucky. Your numbers are going to be down when you play for Kentucky in the system that they have. They just will be. But Booker, I think, is going to be a really good NBA player. He can shoot, and he's not a bad defender. Willie Cauley-Stein, he'll be a lottery pick. Stein is very limited offensively, but he has a 7'5 wingspan. It's huge. Good defender. Okay, offensively, he's just usually the best offensive weapon he has is the offensive rebound. which isn't bad. I mean, he'll help some team. Pat Connaughton is considered to be a very out of Notre Dame, highly valuable to the Baltimore Orioles. The Orioles have his draft rights for 5 more years. He actually pitched for Aberdeen last year in the New York Penn League, and then left the team at the end of July so he could go with Notre Dame on their European trip in August. Good basketball season. He has gone all in. He has gone to workouts for teams. He did the Portsmouth Invitational. He did the Combine in Chicago. He probably is a late second or free agent selection. Quinn Cook of Duke, I'm going to guess that he is a late second or free agent. Brandon Dawson. Dawson's 6'7", great wingspan. He has a 6'10 wingspan to go with that 6'7 body. He is an excellent rebounder, plays well around the basket, but what Brandon Dawson can't do is he can't shoot. Not once hit a three-pointer in his college career and is not a good free-throw shooter. Late second or free agent. Sam Decker. Decker, in my opinion, is going to be picked before Frank Kaminsky. 6'9", big-time basketball IQ. I think you watch Decker plays. Decker knows how to play. And he already has a pro body, so that is no issue there. This is not a guy where you look at and say, hey, look, he's got to put on some muscle. Wait, nope, he's got that already. Much better athletically than people think. He can go at the rim. You know, you got to play. He steps out beyond the three-point arc. You got to play him. He can hit it. And he's a very good rebounder. You know, what's against him? I mentioned the three. You know, he's very good at shooting it, but he should be more consistent with it. And there's a big question. If he's playing a guard or another wing, can he defend him? You know, he's a very much like Gordon Hayward. Very much like him. I would think that Decker goes in the top 10. I think he goes before Frank Kaminsky. More on the NBA draft in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Great to have you with us in the Sunbury Motors studio. Force Radio in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Key, where it's 11 and 15 Hummel's Wharf. NBA draft continues tonight. Just going through some of the guys that could be picked in this thing. Montrezl Harrell, probably a power forward in all this. He'll be a late first-round pick out of Louisville. Good power forward, by the way, at Louisville. And actually worked pretty hard to get his jump shot in shape. And, you know, he's not really consistent with it, but, you know, he'll be a good player in the NBA. I could see him having a nice 5-10-year career in the NBA. And the Harrison twins, how do I say this gently? That's why they created the D-League. All right, I guess that says enough, right? They'll be late second or free agents, okay? The Harrison twins. No offense, I don't see it. Frank Kaminsky. I think Kaminsky will be taken in the lottery part, but I also think that he will be drafted after Decker. Whomever gets him is going to get a 7-1 guy that has post moves, grace around the basket, can face up and shoot, is a good passer, good court awareness. And I think Kaminsky, injury-free, will have a nice 10-year NBA career. Won't be an all-star, but will have a nice 10-year NBA career. He'll help out whomever he plays for. I think the one thing that, the one negative I would say about Kaminsky going to the next level is what kind of lateral movement does he have defensively? And who's he going to be able to guard? foreign players versus college players next on News Radio 1070 WKOK. This year marks Sunbury Motor Company's 100th year in business, and we will be keeping the same tried and true values we've had ever since we opened our doors, guaranteeing your car buying experience will be smooth and hassle-free. No spinning a wheel for specials you don't need or want. No pushy sales staff pouncing on you as soon as you arrive. No sideshow yelling. Since we began back in 1915, we have strived to be your most trusted friend when it comes to all of your new car needs, whether that's in sales or service. We strive to offer you as many viable options as we possibly can. Sunbury Motor Company always carries a line of few other auto dealers in our area can compete with. With our inventory of Ford, Hyundai, Kia, and Lincoln vehicles, there should be no problems with finding the right vehicle to fit your needs. Our friendly and trustworthy staff is knowledgeable in all of our products and stand ready to answer all of your questions and meet all of your needs. In honor of 100 years in business, SMC is introducing the all-new Auto Club, where Sunbury Motors will pay you for every mile you drive. Be sure to ask us about our Auto Club benefits. Sunbury Motors in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza and at sunburymotors.com. Proudly owned by the Mertz family since 1915.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to be with you on this Thursday, NBA Draft Day. Kevin's been studying every player all week. No. Disappointing.
I have trouble with a draft that puts a whole bunch of balls in a machine and picks it out like you're picking the daily number. I just don't get that.
NFL Bay and go there next.
Oh, that would be dumb.
Trying to discourage losing.
Well, isn't losing discouraging enough? I mean, really?
I felt that way.
I mean, watching your team lose is bad enough. And as I can't even imagine. Well, yeah, I can, because I've been on a few teams that have struggled over the years. But losing in general is not fun.
Well, this is better than what's happening with the Phillies, where you lose. And yet you get the pick in the first pick in the draft. That doesn't mean the guy gets there for 5 years.
Well, that's very true. I mean, the baseball draft, you know, there's a reason they don't have the baseball draft in prime time.
It was in prime time.
Well, a lot of the picks were in the afternoon.
Yeah, rounds 11 through 40.
Well, you didn't see wall-to-wall coverage on anything other than the MLB Network.
Exactly. It's still a network.
It's a television channel that happens to talk baseball all the time.
We're a radio channel that happens to talk sports sometimes.
Yeah, sometimes, but not all the time. That's my point. I mean, yeah, the baseball draft should be on the MLB Network. To me, that's a no-brainer. But the NFL draft is on a couple of different networks, bunch of different radio networks.
Kevin, the NFL is the most popular sport in the country.
But that's what I'm saying. That's the whole point. That's the whole point. The NBA draft, I mean, yeah, it happens. There's TV coverage for it. I'm sure the NBA channel is going to cover it.
It's on ESPN tonight.
I know that because ESPN's been talking about it for the last month.
I'm just saying that's pretty significant coverage.
All right, but it is, and I'm not that's my point. I'm not downplaying that. But the Major League Baseball draft You don't see that on ESPN, on Fox. It's on MLB. I mean, like, the NBA draft could be on the NBA channel, but nobody gets that channel. So they have to have it on ESPN to get some coverage.
No,
I mean,
yes,
is the NHL NBA draft on anything? But the NHL Network?
Right. But the difference is that the guys that you see in the NBA draft, just like the NFL draft, you've watched play.
Yes. I absolutely are 100% in agreement with you.
I mean, Connor McDavid, other than a few highlights, have you ever seen Connor McDavid play? Do you even know who Connor McDavid is?
No. No, highlights are probably would be the best way to talk about it.
Okay, what sport does he play?
What?
What sport does he play?
I told you I don't know this guy.
Okay.
How much more honest can I be? I don't know this guy. Maybe I saw him on a highlight. I don't know.
He's the first pick. He'll be the first pick in the NHL draft.
Sure. Of course he will.
Okay, by the Edmonton Oilers.
Let me guess. He played for Boston, Minnesota.
No. No.
Am I in the right part of the country?
No. All right.
Sean Carey just sends me a text and says hockey. Thank you, Sean. Appreciate that.
Can you do afternoons in a music format?
Thanks for giving upper management more of an idea than they already needed. Now, come on. Besides you and Sean Carey, who spends way too much time on Twitter for a man of his age, can you honestly tell me that there are 10 people listening to this broadcast that could tell you Connor McDavid is a 17-year-old playing hockey?
I don't know. It's my job to know.
Nobody.
How about that answer? It's my job to know.
By the way, it looks like the NHL has a draft lottery, too.
Well, what they do is this, is that they get down, they do it to the top two. And, in other words, if you're the, I think Buffalo had the worst record. The worst draft position Buffalo could be in was second. The worst draft position that Edmonton could have been in was third. Well, it turned out everything went by the standings until they got to 1 and 2, and Edmonton won the draft lottery. I was watching that night when it happened, and Buffalo ends up picking second.
Wait. Timeout. Did you just say you watched the NHL draft lottery?
Yeah, it was on between periods of a game.
You want to tell me that you talk about me in obscure sports. You watched the NHL draft lottery.
Yeah, it was on between periods of a game. I was watching the game.
Oh, all right. Well, that's different then. If it was between periods of an actual game and it was like part of that broadcast, it's not like you switch channels to watch it. Okay.
No, it's all like right. I saw the NBA. I watched the NBA draft lottery because that was part of a game broadcast.
I was going to say, because if you're telling me you watched the NHL lottery, the NHL draft lottery, and you're going to have the nerve to pick on me about watching IndyCar, that's going to be a losing battle there.
Nobody watches your sport.
No. There's television ratings. Moving on.
Okay. Let's be honest now. Any rating that starts with a 0 point is a little low.
It's like buying a stock at a dollar, though, Steve. When it doubles, it doesn't take much to double it.
Or maybe you bought a stock named Woolworth. All right. How about stock in newspapers? No, that's not going to work. All right. the NBA draft lottery works the same as the NHL draft lottery. The difference is that the two teams, the NBA's three. The only team that benefited moving up were the Lakers. Minnesota had the best chance of getting the first pick. The Knicks actually had the best chance of getting the second pick. They picked fourth. So that's the difference.
I just don't get it. I mean, if you're the worst team in the league, I don't care how you got there. If you decided to play poorly, which we talked about last year, that the Sixers we felt were trying to play for the last pick if there was no lottery to do it. I'm sorry, if you want to do that, then fine. You get the first overall pick if you want to take a chance on ticking off your fan base. But I don't understand this lottery thing and the purpose of it. I take that back. I do understand the purpose of it. It gets people talking about a sport and a draft that people probably wouldn't spend a ton of time talking about the way they do the NFL.
All right. Stanley Johnson, Arizona. Small forward, great wingspan, NBA body can play. First round lottery pick. Tyus Jones. Tyus Jones, if he stays injury free, it's going to be a 10-year NBA lead guard. He will probably be picked in the 15 to 20 range. Out of Duke, but the team that gets him gets a gem. I mentioned Kaminsky already. He'll be one of the top. He'll be in the 10 to 15 range. Trey Lyles will be 15 to 20 as a power forward. I'm not big on him. We're going to get to some of the foreign players here in a moment. Look, the foreign player deal in the NBA is quite simple. There have been three guys that have made the All-Star team drafted as foreign players. Yao Ming, Dirk Nowitzki, Pau Gasol. That's it. Among the guys drafted in the lottery, foreign players. Three guys. That's it. These are the lottery picks. Three. Made the All-Star game. Let's see. Moutier, Okafor, we've talked about them. We've talked about Russell. Let's see. Here we go. Now let's get to our guy from Latvia. Let's get to our guy from Latvia. You're going to love these.
I just like saying Latvia.
Go ahead, knock yourself out.
I just did.
Okay. Pasenik's from Latvia. 7'1", but he's only 220 pounds. He is a guy that loves... Hey, he's 7'1". What doesn't he like to do? He doesn't like to play around the basket.
I was going to say, at 7'1 and only 200 pounds, he probably doesn't get much opportunity to get into the basket because he gets out-muscled.
He's only 19 years old. He doesn't turn 20 until right before Christmas. Moves well. You watch the tape. He moves really well, and his jump shot's not that bad, but he has a slow release. Just one of those. He's got one of those Chariots of Fire releases where you just back. Okay, fine. Doesn't like to mix it up. Doesn't have a great feel for the game. And on his current team, now this is on his current team. Now he's about to be one of the top 10 guys selected in the draft. Correct, according to all the projections.
It would appear that way.
He doesn't even start for his current team.
All right, even to me, that doesn't make sense.
So, I don't get it. I don't get it. And that's always been, as I said, I look at these things when it comes to the foreign players, and I don't, like, I look at Okafor. And we've watched all the games he's played. I know it's only a one-season sample, but his coach is Mike Krzyzewski. You know he's well-coached. D'Angelo Russell at Thad Mata. You know he's well coached. Carl Anthony Towns at John Calipari. You know he's well coached. It would have come, you know, I mean, I mentioned Pat Connaughton before. He's probably a late second free agent guy. All right. But, you know, Mike Bray's his coach. He can coach. I mean, it's interesting when you see some, you know, that's why I don't see some of this stuff. Okay. Now, Kristaps Porzingis from Spain. The 7 foot power forward might be the best international player out there. And a lot of people think that he can go in the top five. A lot of people like Porzingis. He's a 7 footer. He won't turn 20 until early August. But you watch the tape. He can move. Athletic, really good shooter. He has a chance, to be honest with you, he has a chance to be a 20 and 10 guy several years in his career. Now, what does he lack? I mean, what are his issues? Well, he's not very aggressive, and he doesn't like to mix it up in the post. And he also, now he may be 7 feet tall, but he's also a tweener. And that's, you know, he's not. You look at him right away and you say he's a five, okay? But he probably has a chance because he's not quite 20 years old yet that maybe he can be a stretch four in the NBA. He's going to be a little bit better defensively, and his rebounding needs a little bit of work. But Porzingis is a good player. You know, he reminds a lot of people. If you had to pick a guy, who does Porzingis remind you of? Pau Gasol. Well, I think a lot of teams would love to have Pau Gasol. Porzingis is a lot like that. He's the best international player in there. Moutier's an American. He played in China last year, but he grew up in Dallas. We'll come back, wrap it up in a moment, and we'll try to stay away from the NHL to help Kevin out on News Radio 1070 WKOK. NBA draft is tonight in Brooklyn. We'll be on ESPN tonight. Carl Anthony Towns will be the number one guy picked. He only worked out for one team, and that was Minnesota. Even I can put two and two together on that one.
They're not running this on the Ocho?
ESPN has got a lot of money in this thing.
Yeah, that's for sure.
They are banking on the NBA continuing to be what they are. And, you know, you look at the ABC ratings in the finals. The ABC ratings in the finals were phenomenal.
You know, it's not that I dislike the NBA. It's just after the late 80s and into the early 90s, there was nothing really that interested me. I mean, I loved watching. All right, call me a bandwagoner. I'll take that because I was. But I enjoyed watching the Chicago Bulls play basketball. They had guys that played their roles, and they were fine with it. You know, they knew what the role was, and they were fine with it.
You're a bandwagon guy, and everything.
I'm not ashamed to admit I jumped the bandwagon there.
You're constantly limping it because you jump on and off of bandwagons and keep spraining ankles.
I've got a Chase Utley ankle because of jumping on bandwagons. But since the early 90s, there's nothing in the NBA that really interests me. And LeBron came out, and I was like, okay, maybe I'll watch it again. But it was... I mean, and this was early on. To me, it was feed LeBron, feed LeBron, feed LeBron. It's like, there's nothing here. Now, maybe that's changed, and I just haven't given it the opportunity yet.
But you'd rather watch unknown people go around in circles.
Unknown to you.
Unknown to most of America.
That's not true. Elio Castroneves is known quite well.
Well, he was on Dancing with the Stars. So
I didn't say that it was because of racing. I just said he's been known quite well. And for a tax fraud thing. I think it was tax fraud trial.
I didn't really want to get into that. But and they know Marco Andretti, but they don't really know him. They just know his last name.
That's exactly right, yes.
After that, there's a tad of a struggle. All right, 10 good IndyCar seconds. Good.
Fontana, California, one of the toughest ovals, coming up this weekend.
1,004, 1,005, 1,006.
See, I didn't even use the full allotment there.
1,008, 1,009.
Go, Marco.
Was he on your fantasy IndyCar team?
Yes. Actually, I haven't picked my team this week yet.
I was joking. There actually
is. No, there is. Yes. No, there is one. Yes. As a matter of fact, each driver has a salary, and you have to stay under $100 total.
Wow. Wow.
Go to fantasy.indycar.com, Steve. You can play along.
Exactly what do you think the odds are of that?
Slim to none, and Slim was never in the room.
I'm going to watch the draft tonight.
All right, you enjoy that with seven other people. I'm kidding. There'll be more than that. There'll be more than that because there's really not much going on tonight in sports.
Yeah. Be interested to see what does better, the NBA draft or IndyCar.
I'll tell you what. Who do you think is going to win Fontana? I'll give you the first pick of my fantasy drivers this week.
Scott Dixon.
All right, Dixie it is. I still got $67 left.
You're impressed that I picked so fast.
No, he's the first name you thought of.
He's going to win.
He's got a good shot. He runs the second half of the season very, very well.
They're in the second half.